So, okay. So I'm going to turn some lights on. That's what I'm fixing to do. How are y'all this morning?
Good.
Okay. I hear these two back here. They're good. How's this? Y'all want... Oh, I'm sorry. I turned off their light. Okay, so what is what? Aha. Okay. Thank you. Glory to God. I got it. Oh. Okay. That would be great. Because I'm like all over the place. Good morning. Y'all are so precious. I just can't get away from this that there's so many, it's almost like, and I know we've said it and I've preached it, but I need to say it again. I need to preach it some more. If Jesus already paid for my sins, then I can't pay for my sins. Do you agree with that? Like, wouldn't that be double dipping? I mean, if you went to a ball game and you bought your ticket and you're sitting there and then they came and said, well, you got to buy your ticket. But I already did. It's already paid for. Or maybe somebody bought a ticket for you. That's even better. Somebody bought a ticket for you, gave it to you, and you're sitting there and you already gave your ticket to them. You say, you've got my ticket. Here's my stub. And they go, oh, but that's not enough. If a person goes to prison, it's against the law for them to be judged again for the exact same crime. Did you know that? They can't do another sentence once they finish the sentence for the thing they were convicted of. But I see Christians keep trying to do this. We keep trying to pay for something that's bought and paid for. Keep trying to get God to do something. He said, I already did it. I've done that. Been there, done that. And my constant thing is, Jesus, that not one stripe on your back to pay for my healing will be wasted. He said, I paid for your healing. I did this for you because I love you. And then there's, and I'll tell you where the disconnect is, because I've been meditating on this for quite a while. I think there's a disconnect because we looked at the ministry of Jesus and people went to him and would ask him to heal them, right? And so we do the way the people did. But you don't do the way the people did. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. So they had to ask him. But after the cross, he said, I've done this for you. And when you're saved, it's automatic with your salvation. Once you're saved, he has given this to you. Now you become the enforcer of that truth. So that if he gave you healing, then what happens is when the devil comes to try to put something on you, you just tell him, no. No, you're not. I'm not receiving that. I'm not living my life. You're not going to tell me what to do, devil. You're not running my life. You're not going to tell me where I go and what I can do with my life. Because I don't belong to you. I was blood bought by the blood of Jesus. I belong to God. Do you see the difference in the approach? How different? Jesus said, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm you. He said, you have power over him. And in one verse of the Bible, it says, we're going to be amazed when we say, is this the one? That's the devil? When you see him? Him? That was it? He has no weapon except deception. His weapon, listen, remember all the way back to the Garden of Eden. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, he didn't have a weapon against him. You know why? They had authority over him. He was jealous. He was put there to serve them. The Bible says the angels do the bidding of the Lord. And that we were created a little lower than God. The angels were beneath Adam and Eve. Satan did not have power over them. Oh, please hear me this morning. Satan did not have power over them. He was just an angel. And he wasn't created, and nor was he given dominion over the earth. God gave that to Adam and Eve. Look at it. Read it. He gave the dominion over the earth to them. They said, well, then how come Satan's running everything? Because he, through deception, he couldn't take it. He didn't have power. He didn't have power over them. He couldn't take it from them. But he could get them and convince them to hand it over. And that's what he did. Do you know this is what he does to you? Do you understand what he's doing? If he can convince you that what God said wasn't really true, and that somehow he's holding out on you, if he can convince you of that, you will never enforce the power that he put inside of you. You'll never do it. You won't come against the devil. You'll try to get 59 people to pray for you. But the Bible says when Jesus prayed for people, he would ask them, do you believe I'm able to do this? He checked their faith. They had to have faith. They had to have faith. And there's another disconnect. Do you want to hear another one? Another disconnect. Sometimes I just realize I'm just screaming and I kind of get tickled at myself. But anyway. But I hate the devil. Oh, I so hate him. I hate what I see him do to people. I hate the things he's done to me. It's okay to hate the devil. Do you know why you can lose your temper and everybody in this room can do it? Everybody in this room can do that. Everybody has a temper. Have you ever one? You think some people don't have a temper. Oh, are you ever deceived? Everybody has a temper. I've never seen. If you push the kindest, sweetest, whatever, if you push them hard enough, long enough, they're going to crack. They're going to say, back off, buddy. Yeah. It was meant for the devil. It was meant to come against sin. Do you hate sin? Do you hate it? Do you hate sickness? Do you hate it? Until you get to where you hate sickness, you'll tolerate it. You will. You won't fight. And as long as you believe God's holding out on you, you won't fight. You'll fight some. And then you'll compromise other things. You will. I'm just telling you. You won't even realize you're doing it. Because in this world, that's just normal. Well, I'm not normal. Who wants to be normal? I didn't get saved and full of the Holy Ghost so I could be like every Tom, Dick, and Harry going up and down the street. Are you kidding me? No way. Jesus did not go what he went through for us to be, quote, normal. Whatever all that means. If you don't use your authority, Satan will use your authority against you. He was stripped of his. We've been given authority over him. So he has authority when you give it to him. How can you give it to him? Well, some people just give it to him out of ignorance. They don't know that they have dominion. And so they're easy prey. They're just easy. And they think it's all up to God if they get healed or not. That's right, it wasn't. He healed you. He healed you at the cross. Did you know that nobody is going to be judged for sin? Are you aware of that? At the end of time, nobody's going to be judged for sin. Sin was judged at the cross, the Bible says. Glad you made it. So glad to see you. Sin was judged at the cross. So people aren't going to be judged for sin. They're going to be judged for rejecting Jesus. They're going to be judged that they have rejected God's incredible provision for them. That's what they're going to be judged for. See, how could they be judged if they've already been judged for sin? It says the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ. The full wrath of God came on Jesus on that cross. For sin. For sin. His wrath against sin, the Bible says, was satisfied. Otherwise, Jesus did it for nothing, right? If God's not satisfied, there's got to be more. Hell wasn't prepared for people. People are choosing to go by rejecting Jesus. God is handing out this provision to people. This is why evangelism is such a big deal, that we tell people and disciple people. But the wrath of God, the Bible says, was satisfied with Jesus on that cross. Wow. It says they took the sins of the whole world, past, present, future. Every sin that's ever been committed. And it also said he was so marred. He did not look human. It says his visage, or the way his appearance, was so marred. You couldn't tell who he was for sure. And sometimes you couldn't know what he was. I believe every single disease, every single malady of the human frame went into his body just like sin did. He says he became sin. And sickness and disease is the result of sin. So when he became sin, he was full of tumors and he didn't look human. I really believe that. I really do. He didn't look, it was just a mess. Just looked like a mess. Do you understand that when he took sin in his body, it affected him just like sin affects other people's bodies? Sickness affects other people's bodies? That includes cancer, lupus, every incurable, everything there is. It includes every incurable, everything the doctors would say, can't. Jesus said, I did. There was nothing that was left out. If there was anything that was left out, then you couldn't believe for healing because you might be the one that was left out, right? You understand what I'm saying? Now, the one that comes to God must believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you diligently seek God? See, we're a triune being. I am spirit with a soul and a body. Paul called it a tent. I have often felt that way. And we're going to have a glorified body when we go to heaven. Your body's actually neutral. Do you understand that? Your body's neutral. Your body is responding to what's going on with you. In your mind, your will, and emotions. Your spirit is always the same. Your spirit is never emotional. Your emotions come out of your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul, the soulish realm. Your spirit is perfect, lacking no thing. Your spirit is completely righteous because of Jesus. Your soul is that part of you that's got to be renewed to what actually he's already done in your spirit. Do you understand what I just said? And when people don't want to read the Bible and study the Word of God, it's like you don't understand. Your spirit knows things that is trying to convey to your mind. But spirit speaks to spirit. So you have to be in the Word because it doesn't listen to anything else. It's spirit to spirit. The Word of God is spiritual. It's life. Jesus was called the Word of God. The Word made flesh. And when that Word is really alive in you, it will touch your flesh. It will touch your flesh. It's almost like you've got to get what's in your spirit and what God did through Jesus Christ. What was done, it's got to go up through your soul to get out to anything else you want it to. Because your soul can stop and shut that down. The Bible says your spirit knows all things. Your spirit already knows. It says God will show you things to come. How does he do that? Well, he does that in the Word, and he does that when you pray in the Holy Ghost. A lot of people really don't emphasize the power of praying in tongues enough. But you can pray in tongues, but apart from the Word, you still don't know how to apply what you've been praying. But your spirit is the most pure form of prayer because you have no bias. It's the most pure form of praying is praying in tongues because it's God. It is equipment that God gave us to help us because he loves us. He purchased us with his blood. My goodness, he didn't just leave us here. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I have not left you as orphans. I have given you my own spirit, and I have given you a prayer partner. I have given you everything you need for life and godliness. Godliness means being like God. Being like God. He said, I've given you what you need to be like God, which was what he did in the very beginning when he created Adam and Eve, and he said he created them in the image of God, one like unto God. They were created a little lower than God, the Bible says. and above the angels. The Bible says we will judge the angels, actually. We're so impressed with angels. Well, I'm going to judge them. I'm impressed with Jesus. I'm so impressed with Jesus. What he did, what he went through to give me something. And then the devil will try to talk you out of what Jesus gave you. It happens all the time because we're carnal. We tend to be carnally minded. It isn't that the word carnal. I mean, it's not mean you're evil or that you're a thief or anything. What it's saying is you're just tuned in to what you can see, what your senses can attach to. You're just going by what you see all the time. I praise God Jesus didn't do that. And the Word of God, when you're in the Word of God, it is God, it's almost like God showing us who he is so we know what we're supposed to be. I don't know what I'm supposed to be as a spirit being apart from the Word of God. So if I'm not in the Word of God, how do I know what I'm supposed to be as a spirit being? I know what it is to live by what I see or what the stock market says and all those different things that people listen to. You understand? I'm not of this world. I am not of this world. That is not to govern my life. That doesn't govern my life. I see it for what it is. That is something going on in this world. And they're wrong over and over and over. They're just wrong over and over and over. The experts are wrong over and over and over. God is never wrong. He only tells the truth. He's so accurate. He knows everything before it's going to happen. And he can tell you, he says he will show you things. He will show you things. He will begin to deal with you in your spirit. But spend time on the Word of God. Give him what he needs to work with. Renew your mind so that when you hear a report, there's something in your spirit that jumps out and says, that's not for me. I reject that in Jesus' name. I reject that. I reject those thoughts. You understand what I'm saying? And you have the power to do that. Why do I say that? Because Satan, when Adam and Eve handed over their authority to the devil, he began to use it against us. Every chance he gets, he uses it against us. But it says he was more subtle, more crafty than any other creature. And so that means he's good at deception. The Bible says he's a liar and he's the father of lies. I'm just quoting scripture all through this stuff, so I hope you're understanding. I am preaching right out of the Bible. Well, for some, unless you say turn to Matthew 4, nobody thinks you preached the word or something. I don't know. And of course, the early church didn't even have a Bible yet, so there's that. But what I'm saying is he'll come with deception. He will try to convince you. You know, you're broke, you'll always be broke. He'll try to get you to look at what's not. See, when you get in the Word of God tells you what is. There's a big difference. When you're looking at circumstances, the devil will talk to you. When you look in the Word of God, God, by His Spirit, begins to speak to you. And since it's spirit, your spirit begins to leak out into your soul. And when your spirit begins to leak out into your soul enough, then things are generated. Things come to life. Things that were dead show up and pop up. Yeah. Yeah. Things that you thought were over. He says, no, it's not. Are you in line for a resurrection? Yeah. See, it's not outside of you. You don't go and get it. You get into the Word of God, and what's inside will begin to ooze right out of the pores of your skin. And when you hear a bad report or somebody says something to you, we don't fight enough. People fight each other. You're supposed to be fighting the devil. Fight the devil. Fight the good fight of faith. See, come against him with your faith. Your fight is believing God. That's your fight. The devil's defeated. Jesus defeated him. He only has deception. But if he can convince you that somehow there's something that is in the natural realm that's more powerful than his word, then he's got you. That's it. That's all he has to do. You say, well, I've been dealing with this for years. So? Okay. Okay. Well, I'm tired of it. Okay. See, that's your soul. That's your soulish realm right there. Do you see what I just did? But I'm tired of this. I mean, I wanted a vacation for the last 5 years. Whatever it is for you, I don't know. I'm just saying people have their things like, well, but I'm tired of this. Well, I don't like this job. They don't appreciate me. So-and-so got a raise. I didn't get a raise. And we're just right here. Or we're just only right here. We're just right here. Like, this is all that exists. No, I'm not even of this world. What difference did it make? What difference should it make to me? If they get 5 more pay raises and I'm still waiting, what difference does it make to me? I'm a child of the king, and all I have to do is command a thing and it'll be established. All I have to do is take his word, his words of life, and begin to speak those things, call those things that are not as though they be. That's all I have to do. What are you down about? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom came. His kingdom lives in those who are his children. And our lives are supposed to be lived just like in heaven. Nobody's bickering, backbiting in heaven. Nobody's depressed, unhappy, sad, sick, lonely in heaven. As it is in heaven. See, we're so focused on just what's going on. And, well, I got to pay a bill this month. I was praying. I hope somebody lay hands on me for that. You don't need anybody to lay hands on you, pay a bill. I'm not being ugly. I'm just being direct. And I've been preaching this for quite some time. There are principles of how God operates. His spiritual laws. Do you know them? Have you learned them? Have you been in the Bible? Now listen to me. Most everything out there isn't it. I'm telling you straight up, most everything you're going to hear isn't it. I had a friend years ago, and we get to praying with her. Oh, I know God's here. I got that tingling. You mean I gotta wait until I tingle? You see, there's no basis for that in the scripture. That's the soulish realm. And he's saying your spirit knows all things. That doesn't mean your soul does. That's why you have to renew your mind. So now your mind can become into complete agreement with what your spirit already knows. We've got our spirit on lockdown somehow. You understand? So that we're not really operating the way God wants us to. Part of it is we're just so blooming passive. So passive. Waiting for God to do this. Waiting for God to do that. Well, I hope, well, God will do. And he says, he's just over here like, I already did my part. I don't know what you wanted about. What you wanted about. I did my part. What have you resisted this past week? What have you got violently mad at this week? Have you ever just wanted to smack the devil? You know how you do that? You tell him the gospel message. He hates to hear the gospel preached. I sat in my study at home this week and I began to preach the gospel. I said, all right, I got one for you. Jesus. And I just went on from there. He hung on the cross and died. And I said, there was so much power that even the people who killed him said, this was God. This was God. Surely he was the Son of God. Surely he was. And I said, the tombs split open and the veil was rent from top to bottom. And the people came up out of their graves and they went into the town and testified, he lives. When he came up out of that grave, he didn't come up alone. He that was dead is alive. Glory to God. You know, the devil, he actually just cringes. He's not going to hang around you long. But now as long as you whine and you get on the page of where he wanted you, he'll sit there for days. You can stay absolutely almost in a stupor. Yeah. for days, feeling sorry for yourself and worrying about things that don't ever happen anyway. Worrying, worrying, worrying. You know, it's such a different thing when you begin to deal with a sickness or something going on in your body. It's so different dealing with it when you come from, I have something, and somebody's trying to jerk this out from under me. I grew up kind of, you know, I was a little street girl. I'd fight. Everybody in the neighborhood was bigger than I was, so I had to fight. I mean, they could have killed me, but I was just too much trouble. You know, he'll go to some, you're just so much trouble every time. Every single time. You're just so much trouble. He'll want to go on to somebody else. Yeah. And this doesn't sound very holy, but I was crying to my daddy about it one time, and I said, but they pick on me, and they're all bigger than I am. And they were almost all little boys in the neighborhood. We were the only girls in our whole neighborhood, the Benjamin boys. They were five boys lived behind us, and then Donnie Bill lived directly behind us, and Bill Bailey lived across the street. I mean, they were just all boys, and they were just pick on me and pick on me. And my sister was big for her size, and they were, you know, all about the same age, so they didn't mess with her. And my life was just, it was tragic. It was really tragic. Just getting whooped up, and they pushed me out of the way. Pushed me out of a tree one time. The breath got knocked out, and my mom ran out of the house. I thought, this is it, I'm dying. And I was just a little kid pushing me out of it. It was a tall tree. It was our climbing tree. And I got up, shimmied up there, showed them I could do it, and they go, psh, and just pushed me out of the tree. Hateful, hateful, hateful. And I went crying to my daddy, and my daddy said, now, darling, he said, I'm going to tell you something. And your mother won't tell you this, but I'm fixing to tell you what to do. My mom was a precious Christian. My dad wasn't saved yet. He said, I'll tell you what to do. I said, what, Daddy? I was ready to listen to anything because I didn't like getting picked on like that. It was awful. And he said, now, they're all bigger than you are. He said, but what you're going to do is you're going to take your fist. This is going out over the internet. God help me. You're going to take your fist. Well, whatever. Take your fist, and you're going to hit them in the nose as hard as you can, like you would do it if you were trying to kill them. He said, you won't. And he said, but that'll smack so bad, and they'll remember. And he said, if they want to, they can still beat you up, but they're not going to want to. They're not going to want to. This is the attitude. And I only had to do it to one little boy. I only took one time, one little boy. And rather, he said, let's go. Let's just. You know, because he knew what was coming, and I meant it. You know, I said, and I told Daddy, he said, so how's it going, baby? I said, everything's fine. It's just like you said. He said, good. He knew I really couldn't, you know, because they were so much bigger than I am. But it was true. Are we any trouble for the devil at all? Or are we so easy? Can he just mention a few things to us and we crumble? Can somebody just kind of snub you? And for 3 days, you worry about that. For 3 days. Well, what did they mean by that? What do you think they meant by that? And you'll call four people. And they said, so-and-so, what do you think they meant by that? Well, why would you say something like that to me? What'd I do? And you're trying to get validation. You're trying to get validation. Because our self-esteems are so fragile. We are. People are very fragile. We're very fragile. We really are. You know, everything's just about us. It couldn't be that they were going through sheer hell at the moment. Oh, that would never be anything that would enter our mind, would it? You understand what I'm saying? Use the authority God gave you. Be a lot of trouble for the devil. Instead of him being trouble for you, the more he comes, the madder I get, the more I stomp my feet. I had it this past week. I was supposed to spend the whole day with Krista. Tuesday. It was a special day. It was her day with mommy. Going to get ready for her bridal pictures. And she wanted me to go with her while she's getting her hair done and all this kind of stuff. And just, mommy, look, we just have a day together. You know, I'm fixing to be gone, whatever. I said, sure, baby. Got it on my calendar. My day with Krista. Going to be a mom, dad. Going to be awesome. And when I got up that morning, the room was spinning. I was so dizzy. I fell back on the bed. And I laid there a minute and I said, nope. When you get dizzy, you also get nauseous. Typically, if you get really, really dizzy, it's just, oh my gosh, churn, there it was. And I got up. I didn't say anything to anybody. I got up and I said, I resist you under my breath as I was going through the house, whatever. And then the cat started howling, and I always feed her when I get up. She was ready to eat. I said, she's going to wake everybody up. And so I hung on to the banister, and I just took my time, and everything was spinning. I just kept resisting the devil. I said, you stupid jerk. You can get as mad as you want to get. You stupid jerk. I resist you. I am the healed of the Lord. I was healed. Jesus paid for me. I'm healed. That sort of talk, okay? And just, you know, and I will give him E for effort. E for effort. He didn't let go quickly. This is what's the fight of faith. This is what's called the good fight. See, it's the good fight of faith. See, my decision is, do I get back in the bed, tell her I'm sorry, or do I fight the devil and tell him he is sorry? Okay? Because right then you have a choice. And I knew he was trying to steal something, not just from me, but from Krista. This was a special thing. We were going to have lunch. It was just going to be fun. And so, anyway, I went upstairs. And when I went to come down the stairs, everything was just, it's hard to explain. But when I bent over to put the cat food down, I almost just kept going. I just almost couldn't get myself back up. I would have just fallen into her kennel and everything. It would have been a big deal. And I just said, thank you, Jesus. And I started praising God. I thank you, God. You're so good to me. This is the kind of stuff I do. God, you're so good to me. There's never been a day when you have not been so good to me, Lord Jesus. And I just want to give you praise. And I felt like I was fixing to throw up. You understand? There's vomit trying to come up in my mouth. I'm being graphic, but I'm just trying to be real, because we all have had situations like this. We all can relate to stuff like this. It's a special time, whatever, and you see what he's trying to do. And I just give God glory. I'm saying this to you so that God gets glory, because he's God and that everything he says is true. But you have to enforce it, and everything in you won't want to do it. Your soulish realm, see, my spirit says, take him. You can take them, you know. But my soul says, ugh, but I feel, oh my gosh, and just that churning that you have when you're just so nauseous. So I made it down the stairs, and I thought, oh my God, I felt like I was fixing to throw up. So there's a hall bathroom there. It's a tile floor. And I went in, I flipped the lid up on the toilet seat, and I said, Okay, devil, I'm going to throw up on you. If I throw up, it's going to be you, and I'm going to envision that it's you. Well, I did this one time when Hannah was little, and she came in my room, and she said, I feel sick in my stomach. I said, come out in Jesus' name. She threw up all over me. And that was the only time she threw up. She was done. So, I mean, I know sometimes that can happen. Anyway, I ended up just sitting on the bathroom floor in the corner. I leaned back in the corner. I broke out in a sweat. I was dripping from the top of my head, the soles of my feet. It was the most gross feeling ever. And I was just, I'm talking about profuse sweating as if I had mowed the yard and it was 105. Mackie has seen how I can sweat when we ride bikes and stuff. I mean, I can. And then I began to get chills. And so I said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I reached up on that toilet seat. I put that toilet seat down, and I put my hand up there, and I pull myself up, and I walk to my study. And I said, I thank you, God, I am the healed. I am your darling. And I thank you, God, the same power that raised you from the dead, Jesus, lives in me. That same power, not a different power. You didn't get a substandard power. You didn't get a substandard. You don't have like a lesser. No, you have the power that raised Jesus from the dead kind of power. When everything in hell was resisting him coming up out of hell, he could still could come up out of hell. Devil gave it his best shot. You think he wanted the body of Jesus to come up out of there? No way. No way. And I was sitting there shivering, and Krista came in that morning. She got up. I just sat there a while. I closed my eyes, and I meditated on the Word of God. And I was praising God. I thank you, God. And I just began to speak scriptures. You know, I'm the healed of the Lord. Yep. By your stripes I was healed. Thank you. Healing's the children's bread. I'm eating good. Thank you, Jesus. And began to praise God for the strength and that he would increase strength. I can do all things. What does it mean I can do all things through Christ? What does that mean? If it doesn't mean what I'm saying, then what does it mean? I mean, when do you need it? If you can do it, it's when you can't do it. You rely on his strength. And I said, I know you're living in me. Jesus, we have to stand up. We're a team here. You understand? Have you ever tried to pull somebody up when they just sit? So Krista comes in. She said, Mom, are you okay? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm well on my way. I said, something kind of took me this morning, but I'm fine. She said, you don't look fine. And I said, we know what they say, looks isn't everything. And I would tell you today, looks isn't everything. What things look like, that's not the last word. It's just what it looks like. And so you don't go by just what you see. It wasn't any time. My eyes opened. I didn't have any nausea. I wasn't dizzy. That was the end of that. I went and had a full day with her. She had forgotten her Barrette thing, so I drove back and forth to Bossier City twice right off the bat. I got dressed. We went all day long. I helped her with her dress and pictures and change of clothes, unloaded the car, everything, blah, blah, blah. And then we went and had Mexican food later that afternoon. That's what she wanted to do. And Hannah met us there. And his mom, Joseph's mom, was also, you know, part of all this. And we just had a great time. And then after that, I went to Jackie's. I wanted to be with Jackie. So I got home about 9:30. So I went from not being able to go up to... I'm telling you about the power of God. I'm not telling you about me. I'm telling you about the same one that lives... He's, you know, you don't... Because when you share a story, you speak, oh, wow, I'm going to get hurt. No. We have the same Jesus. The measure of faith. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anything God ever promised you is good. He keeps his word. It's good. Y'all stand up. Your approach is different. You don't go get something from God. He can't give you what he already gave you. What he wants is for us to enforce what he's already done. You understand the difference? So you're healed. He said, well, how can I be healed? I don't feel healed. That's your senses. That's this being carnal. That's carnality. See? It's just, and all that means is you're just so tuned in to just what you, you're natural. There's the natural realm. Well, who wants to be natural? I mean, really, who wants to just be natural? This is what people want to see. And I've been praying for years. I want to be a marker to my kids. I want them to see the demonstrated power of God in my life. I mean, in where we live, down, I mean, in the, and it was just like, Hannah says, are you better? And I said, I'm totally well. And she says, oh, well, I'm glad you're feeling better. I said, I'm not feeling better. I'm well. I'm totally well. It's almost like it's afraid for, people have a hard time just assimilating that that's actually what really happened. But it is what really happened. It's what really happened. Oh, I praise God. I praise God. And I resisted the devil. I came against witchcraft. Like I said, anything coming against me, I'm coming against you. And you have to do this when everything in you just wants to crawl up in the bed because you hurt. You're in pain or you're really sick or you're running a fever. Whatever it is, I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying giving in is a lot harder. that's a lot harder. The disappointment on her face would have been something to be with me forever. That was my shot, and I missed it. I didn't get to go. It didn't happen. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm saying, practice. Practice fighting. There's people, they want to believe for something really big when it comes, and they think they're going to be. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are going to do it incrementally. It's line upon line, precept on precept. If you don't learn to fight little things, you'll never fight the big ones. You won't. You'll feel overwhelmed. You'll feel very overwhelmed. I'm telling you the truth. And it's the mercy of God that's letting you have some practice. He said, all right, now use what I gave you. Use what I gave you. Use what I gave you. Practice. Learn to believe me. Get in the Word. What else can God say to you? You know, and just read the Scriptures. Look at the ministry of Jesus. He was always willing. But you don't approach him the way they did. They were on the other side of the cross. They were on the other side of the cross. And I've heard people preach this stuff for years, but it's like, yes, yes, he's healer. Yes, he's healer. That's why you're healed. Even in the old covenant, even under the old covenant, God provided healing. It's who he is. And then he gave it to us permanently. Well, the gift of God is eternal life. And he knows we're a triune being. But there's things that can't get past our soul because we're so carnal. And we haven't been taught the truth enough for it to register. It's not our go-to place yet, but it sure can be. It can become our go-to place. So if you don't feel like that's okay. It's okay. Because you have to practice. But while you're practicing, it will feel terrible. But you felt terrible anyway. I mean, my deal is, if I'm going to hurt or feel bad, it better count for something. Mm-hmm. And I bowed up not too long ago and I said, why should I pay a doctor? Jesus already paid for it. Why should I be paying for something that was paid for? Y'all sure got quiet. Sure got. Well, I'm just telling you, every once in a while I just kind of rant and rave at the devil. It feels great. It's wonderful. All this pent up whatever, you know. Aim it at the person who deserves it. Jerk, 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 devil. Jerk, 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 devil. And the person, whoever you go, people run places to get something. Well, if I can get so-and-so to pray for me. And I'm going to say this. There's some people that have a gift of miracles. It's true. They have a gift. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. And I've had some precious people in my life that moved in those gifts. They died terrible deaths because they didn't know how to stand on the Word of God. Do you remember me telling y'all before, a gift doesn't mean you earn it. It doesn't mean you know anything. I moved in Word of Knowledge as soon as I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just knew things about people all over the room. It was almost overwhelming. And praise God, I had sense enough not to say a lot of it. It would have been bad. But you understand what I'm saying? But it didn't mean I had knowledge. It didn't mean I had never even really read the Bible. But I began to move in a gift. And I have seen people move in tremendous gifts of healing. But they didn't know how to just take the Word of God and apply it to their life and fight the devil and enforce. Y'all understand? It is better to take the Word of God, to know how to take the Word of God and defeat the devil. Through your faith, your fight of faith. You defeat him in your mind. He's already been defeated, but it has to happen in your mind. That's what I mean by that. And that you, instead of saying, God, don't ask God to come, quit asking God to come do stuff. Quit asking God to come do stuff that he gave you power to do. Get people to agree with you. You pray and get people to agree with you for what God has told you to do or whatever it is. Get some people to agree with you. And it's all, and I know this is going to sound, but I mean, I might as well. The more the devil hurts me, the more I bow up. The more I bow up. The more I bow up. Dig my heels in. I just dig my heels in. I just dig them in. Because I hate him so much. I don't want him to have the satisfaction that he could get me to sit down. I hate him. I hate him. I hate everything about him. I really do. Because I hate sickness. And I hate sin. And that's him. That's all he is. He was a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And when he comes to tell you anything different than what God told you in his word, you better be careful who you're listening to. Because whoever you listen to, your body will obey. Whoever you listen to the most, your body will go that direction. It'll go that direction. Do you understand? This is a big deal. Is it doable? Well, yes, God wouldn't tell you to do something you can't do. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have. They said they had it. They didn't say, Jesus, would you please come and do No, they said, silver and gold have I none. But, and that didn't mean they were broke. They didn't have anything on them. I don't always have a bunch of cash on me, do you? And he said, I don't have that. But what I do have, I will give it to you. I'll give it to you. He had it to give. Which means he had to have already had it in him. You understand? That approach, when you're praying, you will feel the empowerment of that approach. You will feel empowered by approaching it that way. Instead of, Lord, I just need some help. Lord, I just need help. Would you please come help me? That's it. See, what you believe to be true is going to govern your whole life. If you believe you don't have what you need for life and godliness, and you believe the Bible told you a lie, and you choose to believe something else, you will forever live in a huge deficit, emotionally, financially, and in every other way. You will live in a deficit. Well, I just want to feel love. God is love. He lives in you. When you don't feel loving, why don't you say, I thank you, God, that you live in me. And I thank you, God, I have the fruit of the Spirit. Love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. I have love. So, God, I'm going to stir my love up, and I'm going to see if I can find three people I can just pour love on today. And act on your faith. If you believe that's there, follow it up with action. You have to do something. A lot of people, they'll get prayed for, and I'm not ragging on anybody. I'm trying to teach y'all, okay? And this is just stuff I've learned. And I learned a lot of it the hard way. And I don't want you to, because it's painful to learn everything the hard way. It's painful. You get prayed for. Oh, thank you, Lord. You were prayed for some sickness, some you got back trouble or whatever it is. And then you just, and that's the end of that. You haven't acted in faith yet. Haven't acted in faith. You'll need to take action. Faith without works is dead. It's just as if you weren't even prayed for. Did you know that? It's just as if you weren't prayed for. You won't even, people say, well, if I did that, it might hurt. I was fixing to say, you're already hurting. You came up for prayer. So what difference would it make? You could just believe God and say, I'd rather be dead than live like this. It's like, don't accept weaknesses. Don't accept weaknesses. Don't accept them. Well, you give him an inch, he'll take your life. Not just a mile, he'll take your life. He's after your life. You understand that? He's a thief. He comes to steal. And then you begin to say, and the first time you do something, it might really hurt. It might really hurt. I ran this morning because one of my legs was hurting me this morning. And I stopped just like that. And I took off jogging. I was jogging in my house. Because I've been walking every morning. I said, you know what? I'm bumping this up a notch. I'm fixing to run on this leg. You understand? And I resist. I say, get off of me. Get off of me. How do you talk to the devil? Do you? See, that's a problem. Because if you're really talking to him and you know who you are, he will flee from you. But you have to believe in your heart. This is not a formula. There is no formula with God. But they're all laws. And one of them is you got to believe in your heart. You have to believe that God told you the truth. You have to believe God told you the truth. He did not leave you here helpless. He did not leave you here with a big bad boogaboo devil that you have no power over whatsoever. That's not true. We're not victims. Because then you'll live as a victim while you say you love God, be praising him in church, and you're living like a victim. You feel like a victim. Pill after pill after pill. Or paycheck after paycheck after paycheck, whatever your thing is. Or your kids. You act like God's done stuff. Act like it's done. We go out to eat. We always get one of our kids. Pray over the food. Pray. You call those things that are not as though it is. And then you act like it's true. You act like it's true. You line yourself up with that is actually true. Come on, Mr. Jean. Here.
There are times that you don't feel me and doubt and unbelief creeps in. In those times, you must push through into faith. You must meditate on my faithfulness. You must let my word do battle for you. Let praise arise. Allow yourself to be caught up into pure worship. Shake off all distraction and sit at my feet. I will remind you that you are loved. I will remind you that your performance does not affect the depth of my love for you. Rest in who I am in spite of who you think you are and who you think you're not in your mind. I see you as a completed work. I see you in the perfection of Christ that dwells within you. I do not think in terms of limitation, neither should you. I am not encumbered by human frailties, and neither are you. You live in supernatural victory if you allow me to live through you. Rest in the fact that I will provide everything that you have need of. I cannot and will not fail you.
That is so exciting to me. Now that's a gift. That is a gift. That's a gift. Isn't God so sweet? Do you see how he puts giftings in the body? He had no idea what I was going to preach because my sermon's on that piece, on my little notebook. But I love the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit orchestrates. Now, what we're going to do now, and then we're going to worship some. Don't get too excited. Y'all aren't leaving. We're going to worship God. We're going to praise God because God, Y'all get y'all brain how we do. So, because we're going to praise God, because I expect God to be doing something up in here right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're fixing to pray over yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to pray over yourself right now, or if you've got an ache or a pain, or maybe just thoughts come against your mind, maybe put your hand up on your head or something, whatever. It doesn't matter. Nobody has to know what it is. You'll know what it is. Whatever's coming against you is between you and God anyway. And we're just going to pray. How about that? And I'm going to lead us in prayer, and we're going to believe God. We're going to come against what's been coming against you, and it's going to go. Now, you got to believe that. I mean, I can't make you believe it. I know it's true. But this is why being in the Word is so important. It's how you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in tongues and in the Word. Pray in tongues. I pray in tongues more than I do English. Why? I trust God more than I do how I feel. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. Absolutely. And the name that's above every name, Jesus. Oh, precious Lamb of God, we love you. Exalt your name in this place. Lord, we exalt you. You're the star forever and ever and ever. I thank you, God, your word is settled in heaven. And your word is powerful. You've magnified your word above your own name. And I thank you, God, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. That is amazing that you have trusted us. You have entrusted that level of power over the devil himself to those you call your own. Satan, we rebuke you. We stand against you in the name of Jesus. And I command you in Jesus' name to loose your grip. I come against you and I say, you will let go. You let go right now in Jesus' name. Get out of there. You get out of my mind. You get out of my body. You get out of my house. You get off my finances. You get off my stuff. You get off my kids. Get out. Get out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ooh, Shamata, I will not live below my privileges. I will not live as if God has not done these things for me. I will not do it. I will not do it. I will not be a pauper while I'm on this earth. And you've called me to reign and rule. Every pain, go in Jesus' name. Every demonic stronghold, I pull you down now in Jesus' name. Loose these people. Get off of them. And every lying spirit, come off of them in Jesus' name. Every lying spirit, you come off of them. Every spirit of addiction, I come against you in Jesus' name. Every spirit of addiction, back off in Jesus' name. Get out of there. Get out of there. Get out of there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I magnify your name. I magnify your name. And I say your name is above every other name. Your name is above anything that can be named. In Jesus' name, I speak health, healing, wholeness, soundness of mind, soundness of body, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for power. Thank you, God, for power to overcome. Thank you, God, for power to learn. You even have to have power to learn the things of God. God will strengthen you and give you power. Thank you, God, for understanding that we don't live and die in ignorance. Thank you, God, your words are words of life. I will not be ignorant. I will not be ignorant of your ways. Thank you, God, you speak to me. Thank you, God, you're talking to me all the time through your word. And I thank you, God, as I walk and go and drive my car and everything I do, I have access to you anytime, anytime. I thank you, God, we have direction always. We have direction. We've not been left here without guidance or direction. I thank you, God, we have direction. We have everything we need. And when we're 75, 82, and 95 and a half, we'll still have everything we need for life and godliness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now let's worship the Lord. How about that? Y'all feel like worshiping God? Well, I might say, if you feel it, do it.